graduates, and also to each of us as we pursue the calling of God on our lives. Do you realize that these graduates have a unique gifting and calling from God, but so do each of us. And they're typical here of people who have studied and prepared and done what God told them to do. It was a sacrifice, wasn't it? Sacrifice of finances, sacrifice of time, other things you had to put aside to finish. But praise God, you finished. And as I said earlier, you're finishers. You're not just starters. And the charge that I have for our graduates, but also for each of us who are called from by the Lord, which that's each of us, whether it's into the marketplace or whether it's in ministry, there are things that we need to watch for in our lives and our calling and pursuit of our calling, and things that will help you fulfill what God's called you to do. Number one, guard your intimacy with the Lord. One of the enemy's primary tactics is to move you into a works performance mentality and fill your life with busyness and activity, hoping to deceive you into believing that equates into fruitfulness in the kingdom. And I'm not saying don't serve, as one of the points I'm going to bring up has to do with serving. But we must learn to put a value on intimacy and on the presence of God, because in ministry, the enemy will and people will try to pull you out of your intimacy with the Lord. Now, I want to say something very, I believe it's a download from heaven, that it's very clear that so many people in life and ministry today are just copy and paste people. And they get on the internet and they see what someone's doing, what's the latest and greatest, and they copy and paste it into their lives. They watch and see what some other ministry is doing, or the latest and greatest thing to cause their church to grow, and then they copy and paste that into their ministry. Or they see someone in business and this person did that, and or that person did that, and we can see it on the internet and we copy and paste it into our lives. Don't digress. Don't degrade your life to a point of copy and paste. You're better than that. Amen? You're not a copy and paste person. You're a presence of God person. And He'll download in you that uniqueness that will cause His glory and His presence and His power and His word to shine through you. You don't live in anyone's shadow. God needs you to be the best you that you can be. And that comes from intimacy with the Father. Amen? And this is a place, the Church of Ephesus, the largest church in the world at one time, had digressed to by the time that we see in Revelation chapter 2 that Jesus rebuked them because they were doing all these works, and they were good works, and they were biblical works, and they were, you know, things were going on and in a positive way, yet they had left their first love. Are you listening to me? They didn't realize that kingdom works by themselves is not what releases the anointing in their lives, rather intimacy with Jesus. When you read that passage, it talks about Jesus said, listen, if you don't repent from and return to your first work, which is intimacy with me, I'm going to remove your candlestick. The candlestick holds the oil. The oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Guys, intimacy and love with Jesus is what keeps your fire lit. It's what releases the anointing in your lives. Intimacy with Jesus. You remember your passion for the Lord right after you got saved, your hunger for the Word, your love for church, the things of God immediately after you got saved and filled with the Spirit. How many remember when? Praise God. I remember when I spied this beautiful little blonde here on the front row. Oh, man, I'm telling you. I mean, my focus changed. My life changed. And I've still got the gleam in my eye today for this little girl. Is that all right? Praise God. And when you love someone, then you adjust your life to manifest that love. Amen? And so it is in our life with Jesus. Never lose that. Never lose that freshness. I made a decision. We're best friends. If the cars were where they used to be, she'd be sitting right up next to me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, we still hold hands. We still take walks together. Amen. Praise God. We're best friends. Ministry is full of demands by people that seem legitimate, but that will try to move you out of intimacy and His presence if you let it. Look at Mark chapter 3. I won't be long tonight if you listen real good. Mark chapter 3, verse 13, Jesus went up on the mountain. And if you read in another one of the Gospels, he went up on the mountain, he prayed, and he actually prayed all night. And he called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him. We'll come back to that. And that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. The first thing it says, after Jesus called the 12, he called the 12 that they might be with him. And then he sent them out in power. There are no shortcuts. The first emphasis and priority of a disciple is to be with Jesus, to spend time with Jesus, to have intimacy with Jesus, revelation from Jesus that lights you up, that will in turn light others up. There's no shortcuts. It's spending time with Jesus. Amen? There are no microwave ministries. It's you spend time with Him. He downloads revelation to you. You share it with others. You spend time with Him. He downloads revelation and truth and love and wisdom to you, and you share it with others. That's the kingdom. That's the way it works. That's the way it is for each of us. If we're to find our individuality, our uniqueness in ministry, and our individual calling, it comes by spending time with Jesus. My wife came to me one time after spending time with Jesus. And I was in business. I was a successful businessman. And she told me, announced to me, that she's a pastor's wife. I said, really? Well, you're a pastor's wife, and I'm in business? That means that one of three things. I'm going to die, you're going to marry a pastor. We're going to get divorced, you're going to marry a pastor. Or God's going to do a miracle and change my heart and make me a pastor. Because I didn't want anything to do with pastoring. I didn't want anything to do with, had to do with the saints. They wouldn't get out on the streets and witness like this church does. But praise God, I had to be careful, get on my soapbox. But, you know, then I said, well, I better pray. She says she's a pastor's wife, and she's not leading my family. I got news for you. I'm going to hear from God myself. So I said, Lord, is what she's saying true? He said, yeah, and more. Praise God. I just never asked the question. I just assumed what I was going to do. And anyway, the Lord spoke to me. He downloaded in me that he called me to equip the saints. And boy, we've been on a journey ever since, haven't we, honey? Praise God. There are no shortcuts for manifesting the things of the kingdom. Revelation, God dreams and vision, freedom from fear, freedom from offense, all kinds of things that would hinder you fulfilling your call. It comes by you spending time with Him. Now, I want you to look one other verse on this point. Look at Luke chapter 10 with me for just a moment. And then, actually, I'm just going to summarize Luke 10, and then we'll look at the first verse of Luke 11. Luke chapter 10, you know, verse 38 through 42 speaks of the story of Mary and Martha. And this is a picture of two sisters who possessed entirely different value systems. Each one spent time with Jesus, and each one served Jesus. You can look at it yourself and see. It wasn't a matter of pitting devotion against duty. It was a matter of what was the priority in that in each one's life. And the bottom line with the point in this passage is valuing intimacy over activity that brings greater fruitfulness in your life. And I was reading that one day, and have you ever just read, and then all of a sudden you read the next chapter? And I never did that. I never connected Luke 10, 38 through 42 with Luke 11, verse 1. Now, that passage emphasizes a priority of placing priority on the presence of Jesus, the Word of God, prayer. And Mary had chosen that good part. It wouldn't be taken away from her. Then the very next verse, chapter 11, verse 1, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Immediately after this lesson on intimacy, Jesus modeled intimacy with his Father through prayer. He didn't just teach it, he modeled it. Are you listening to me? Prayer is a primary means of birthing things that are born of the Spirit and also identifying things that are not of the Spirit. So intimacy with Jesus, guard your intimacy with Jesus. Don't allow anything to get in the way. Don't schedule a God out of your life. Don't schedule ministry. Schedule time with the Lord. Amen? And value that. Then number two, improve your serve. Improve your serve. Our culture has duped us into accepting an entitlement attitude in the name of or under the guise of inheritance. This is mine. I'm a son of God. I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir with Christ. But how many of you know you are an heir? You are a son of God. You are a joint heir with Christ. But that does not entitle you to skip the servanthood principles in the Word when it comes to other people. Your role as a son of God doesn't entitle you to forsake faithfulness, loyalty, laying your life down, laying your rights down for the betterment of others. And if you want to be successful in ministry, it's all about serving people. It's all about laying your life down. And I don't know if you've noticed, sometimes people aren't so nice. Sometimes those sheep turn into goats who butt. You know, I love my pastor, but I love my husband, but, you know, and you find those things. But the bottom line is we are called to serve the body of Christ on behalf of the Lord and lay our lives down. Yes? And we've got to improve our serve. Your role as a son of God is to serve the body of Christ and to serve others. Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have not been called, or you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love. Everyone say through love. Through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. Liberty is not the greatest value. Laying your life down and walking in love toward others is a greater value. I didn't figure I'd get that good of a response. I want to encourage you to find a ministry or a business that you like or connect with and volunteer. You know, you're praying and you want to go out into full-time ministry. Well, you've got to start somewhere. And good interns, volunteer interns, are the first group of people in my department that I look for when I'm looking for someone to staff at Charis Bible College. The same way in our church. The same way here in this church. You serve your way. You don't use the entitlement card to get into a position. You know, Moses with Joshua, Joshua with Moses, and Elisha with Elijah, and the disciples with Jesus, and Timothy and Titus and Silas with Paul. Don't wait for things to be handed to you on a platter. It's not going to happen that way. Be willing to do, and when you're serving, be willing to do whatever needs to be done. Don't go in and say, you know, that's not my ministry. Well, it is now. Some of you want first, second, and third John ministry, but some of you are going to get first, second, third, and fourth John ministry. Some of you will figure that out later. I don't do toilets. I don't clean bathrooms. I'm better than, I'm a prophet. No, right now you're a non-prophet. A prophet. Have a yes. When you serve, have a yes. Have an I can do that, or I'll find the answer to that, or I'll make it happen. Have a yes in your heart toward those that you serve. See, it doesn't just come when you get the diploma. You had to work for that. There are other people going to school, haven't finished. It's not just handed to them. You had to make an effort. You had to serve your way. When you get out of here, as you graduate now, go serve, but then with an attitude of, well, I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to lift my leader's hands up and arms up. Amen? Keep a good attitude. Make it your goal to make your leader's life easier by taking responsibility off of him or her. You know how you become valuable to me as a leader in the kingdom? If you're serving with me, lift my arms up and take responsibility off of me. Don't look for a way to run from it. Take responsibility from me. Now, I'm helping somebody here. If you want to be successful, that's how you do it. And you have a good attitude while you're working. Praise God. You're not a complainer. You're not a whiner. You're not demanding all the time. Man, give me someone like that, and I'm telling you, I'm going to promote you. Amen. You're not a drain on your leader. It's what I talked about this morning, servanthood. Without expectation from men. Look to God alone for compensation, recognition, appreciation, and promotion. Look to God alone for compensation, appreciation, recognition, and promotion. Look to God alone for compensation, recognition, appreciation, and promotion. And then become someone your leader can depend on. This includes faithfulness, loyalty, timeliness, someone who represents your leader's vision, not someone who substitutes his own vision and agenda for his leader's. Then number three, find your sweet spot and give the majority of your time and energy to that. 1 Timothy 5, 14 through 15. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, that was given to you, a prophecy through the laying on of hands by the presbytery, but meditate upon these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. It's a misconception that we need to spend the majority of our time and energy shoring up our weaknesses and our giftings. I'm not talking about character. I'm talking about your giftings. Your weakness and gifting. Now, let me just stop and say this, okay? Don't be deceived in thinking, I understand you've got the nature of God on the inside of you. You are wall-to-wall Jesus in your character and nature. How many of you know that? You're 100%. You've got 100% of the fruit of the Spirit, 100% of the love of God. It's on the inside of you. But in your gifting, each of us has a measure of the gift of Christ. What do I mean by that? If you think that you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher, all rolled up in one, you're just a legend in your own mind. No, each of us has a different measure in our gifting. And if you're going to be successful, you need to, while you're serving to discover what your sweet spot is. What your gifting is. Don't try to be what someone. If you can't sing, if you can't hold a tune in a bucket, please don't pollute our ears trying to sing up on the stage. And I'll just be nice and kind enough to tell you, because if you're up here doing that, and I had that early on in my ministry, and then, you know, we didn't want to offend them, did we? So so in the name of not wanting to offend them, we offend everybody else's ears. Praise God. No, where people are up on the stage and it's not their gift, man. You need to go and grow where you have your gift. Your weakness in gifting is another person's opportunity. When you hire people, you want to staff to your weakness, not your strength. Far too many leaders, the problem is, they're too insecure to delegate significant assignments and roles that they're not strong in to others. Amen? That's the problem in the body of Christ today. The greatest value you can bring to any organization is to devote 80% of your time in the area of your strengths and delegating to others in the area of your weaknesses as soon as possible. Now, I know that seems to be counter to what I just said about serve and be willing to serve in any area. But listen, while you're serving, you're discovering. While you're serving, you're identifying. I'm good at that. I'm not good at this. Are you listening to me? When I was a young man, I worked in a radiator shop on Telephone Road in Houston, Texas. And I spent 3 days trying to change the motor mounts on a 63 Ford Falcon. And I learned after 3 days, I was not called to be a mechanic. If you call my house and ask my wife, is Greg handy? She'll say no, but he's here. You don't want me fixing your car or building anything now or anything like that, but you get me around people or around the word or teaching people or raising up leaders, and man, I'm in my comfort, I'm in my sweet spot. But that is not my sweet spot. And so when you're serving, you're identifying these areas of your greatest strengths. What area of service have you seen the most fruit in your life? What area of your gifts seems to bless others most? What are the things that you do that you get the most positive comments about? And where in your service to others do you sense God's pleasure the most? Serving others becomes a laboratory of learning what you're good at and what you're not. And by the process of elimination, see, what happens is many times we think we just get a word from God and we go out and do it. But, you know, I could name the prophet's name, a good prophet, a good minister, and he prophesied over this guy that he was a youth pastor. And the guy was, he wasn't any more youth pastor than he was an astronaut. And he tried to be a youth pastor, and it didn't work. And then he crashed and fell and burned and spiritually, and he never went on to do. But just because you're not a youth pastor, or just because somebody prophesied you're a youth pastor, you need to walk these things out. And if there's not any fruit, then just after a while, just say, the prophet either missed it or God's got to change my heart. But I'm going to serve in the area of my gifts. Amen? Serving others becomes a laboratory of learning what you're good at, what you're not. By the process of elimination, you can become more laser focused on what the two or three gifts that you have and that you enjoy most and others enjoy receiving. Focus on that. Develop that. Give yourself to that. And your progress will become eventually apparent to all, and you will be successful. Find what your sweet spot is. Serve until you see, this is what I'm good at. This is where I'm bearing fruit. This is where the life of God is happening. And I'm telling you, you guys will be successful. Then finally, while you're in the midst of your assignment, operating in your sweet spot, make room for divine interruptions. Mark chapter 5, we'll read just a few verses, and I have the airport in sight. No one please get nervous or disembark too early. We're just about done. Mark chapter 5. And verse 21, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell down at his feet. Now Jairus was an important person. He was an influencer. And here he's bowing down to Jesus. Jesus no doubt knew this was, listen, if this ministry assignment is accomplished, we're going to influence, my influence in the Jewish community is going to increase greatly. Here's a ruler of the synagogue. Can you see that? And how many of you know Jesus was called to the Jewish people? And so he, knowing that, Jesus went with him, or verse 23, And he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. And Jesus went with him. Now, if Jesus only went where he was sent. So he was on assignment, wasn't he? Jesus was on assignment, on mission, and he went with him. Now, verse 25, now a certain woman had an issue of blood for 12 years, had suffered many things from many physicians, had spent all she had, was no better, and grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, touched his garment, and she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I'll be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone in him, turned around the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? We know the rest of the story. She was healed, was she not? But now listen, Jesus was on assignment. Jesus was in his sweet spot. Jesus was going to an assignment where this ruler of the synagogue, a daughter, needed him. He was going to release the power of God, and it was going to have great influence in the Jewish community, was it not? But then something happened. An interruption. And Jesus was not so rigid with his assignment that he would not allow himself to be interrupted by a woman who had an issue. And there are people all around while we're walking in our assignment while we're moving toward what God's called us to do in the path where we're sent, who have issues on the right and on the left. And while we're following the sweet spot, while we're serving God in what we're called to do, let us not be so rigid in our lives and our focus that we have no time to be interrupted by women and men, boys and girls with issues that you and I can remedy. We're called to touch and change lives. It's not about promoting your ministry. It's not about making a big mailing list. It's not about whether or not you're on television or radio, whether or not that is what God's called you to do, and some of you will do those things. It's about following Jesus and allowing Him while you're on the way to that assignment. Maybe He calls you to a television ministry, but don't forget the cameraman behind the camera. Don't forget the staff person. You're called to disciple the nations. What about the staff person in your office with an issue? Don't be a person that gets so rigid in their focus. I'm reaching the world. I have no time for people with issues. Aren't you thankful someone took time for you? Amen. Aren't you thankful for a pastor and a staff and a Bible college that would make room to allow you to fulfill what God put in your heart right here at Calvary Cathedral International? He's equipped you. He's called you. He's anointed you. He's sending you. Don't allow your calling to move you out of the presence of God. Don't allow yourself to think of yourself more highly than you ought, where you're too big to serve. But then focus and realize, I've got gifts and calling. I've got a sweet spot. I'm going to find that. But when you do find that, don't forget. Don't forget the others, just like yourselves, that needed someone to take the time to be interrupted, to listen to that cry, to that had a question, but they just bugged the fire out of you, but you were that person one day, and someone took that time with you. Amen. Someone took that time with you. Praise God. Class of 2014, you guys are an awesome class. You're going to change the world, but you're going to do it as you follow the Spirit of God, as you preach the Word of God, as you maintain intimacy with God, amen, and as you serve in your area of your gifts and calling. Praise God. Amen. I want to pray. I want you all to pray with me for this class. Praise the Lord. Could we just all stand? I want us to stand. You guys stay seated. We're going to pray for you. Let's all stand and let's pray for this class. Let's stretch our hands toward them. Praise God. I want you guys here, join hands. Okay? And I'm going to I'll just start here. I'm going to join hands with you. Let's believe God for their destinies to be fulfilled. Let's believe God that what He called them to do, He will surely finish it. And I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. Amen. Father, we thank You for these men and women of God. Lord, we thank You for the call of God on their lives. We are so thankful, Father, that they laid their lives down to study, to prepare. Father, they sacrificed, Lord, time, finances, family time, all kinds of things to come to this point right now. And Lord, we release in them a great grace Father, to accomplish now the call of God on their lives. We send them forth, Father, in power and anointing. We release, Father, utterance. We decree and declare over them utterance by the Word of God on their lips that are going to change people's lives. We declare over this class, they're a class, Father, that releases signs and wonders and miracles. In Jesus' name, Father, their names, many of their names are going to be known because they're going to make your name great, Father. This is a supernatural class. This is an anointed class. But this is also a class, Father, that has time for men and women like the woman with issue of blood, with issues. And Father, while they're on in their assignment, Lord, I thank you for divine interruptions, divine appointments. And Father, they're going to, because you've changed their lives, they're going to change the world in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give them a good hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I want you to know we love you guys. I want you to know we're proud of you and we're praying for you. Praise God. Come back and give us good reports. Tell us what God's doing. Tell us about that church that's growing, Eric. Tell us about the ministry that God's doing in each of your lives. Amen. Praise God. God's changed you to change the world. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Pastor.
Would all of you be seated, and we will let you stand, class. Before they leave, let me remind everybody there is a reception in the fellowship hall down the hallway here, and it'd be good if meet your family member down there if you would, please. Thank you. Okay.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Come back halfway.